should the D-backs be panicking over Eduardo Rodriguez's injury? We're going to talk about that. Randall Grichuk, the Blake Snell signing by the Giants, and other National League West news on today's episode of the Snakes on the Diamond podcast. So hello, everyone. I hope you're having a good Wednesday. The Diamondbacks are playing the Rockies today at Salt River Fields at the time of this recording, but we will not be talking about that game. Instead, we'll be talking about the bigger picture news items. So last night, Eduardo Rodriguez was pulled from his start right after throwing his final warm-up pitch in the second inning and was diagnosed with left lat tightness. We're talking the lat muscle here. We're going to discuss the implications that could have on the D-backs opening day roster. But before we do that, we'd like you to subscribe, leave a like, and comment down below what your level of concern for the team is if Eduardo Rodriguez starts the year on the IL. All right, Wes, why don't you answer the question first?
I'm like on a scale of 1 to 10, maybe a 2 in concern. Like a lat tightness is like right underneath your shoulder.
Lower.
If you're not aware. Is it lower than that? Yeah, it's like lower, but still it's right below the shoulder blade. That can throw you off. I mean, the real concern here is if he has setbacks in his next start. His scheduled start in the rotation would be basically 10 days from now. It would be, you know, just under 2 weeks. If he has any setbacks in his next start, then that becomes a question of, like, is he going to make that start then?
So my opinion, obviously, Lavelle says it's always concerning when you pull a starting pitcher out of the game due to an injury. But beyond that, his level of concern, like if we're talking like a severe injury, is very minimal. In fact, yeah. I think they dodged a bullet with the injury itself, and it's more in the back area. So it's more towards the back than it is the shoulder with Rodriguez. Of course, they haven't discussed any imaging possibilities yet, and they're still evaluating him. Although I think it's going to be a pretty minor injury with not a lot of missed time, but you never know sometimes.
Yeah.
Pitching injuries tend to linger more than you think. And we don't know if it's an official strain, if it's a strain or if it's just tightness. Like I said, we had a pretty similar injury situation already in camp, spring training with Eugenio Suarez, who had side tightness, which that's all it ended up turning out to be. I think he was out for, about a week.
Yeah, it wasn't very long.
Of course, I'm not going to compare the two situations, but that's kind of how it is.
I mean, the only reason why I'm like have any level of concern is because he's a pitcher. That's it. If he was a position player, I would not be worried at all. Like we saw with Suarez, that's not really that big of a deal. I mean, it sounds like it's like, you know, like tightness or cramp. Corey doesn't seem too concerned. I mean, his concern sounds about the same as me. There is a little bit of uncertainty in what he was saying in the press conference today, but I mean, I could just be reading too much into what he was saying.
Yeah, in that case, it's like obviously there's a kind of a strict window to get him back on the mound if you wanted to get him started on March 30th. They'd get him on the mound basically by the 25th. For him to be able to start opening day, and Lavelle said they will not put him back on the mound until he's asymptomatic or they're not able to recreate the symptoms for that injury. So I guess you can say it's day by day for now. And if probably have a better idea, but I would say Saturday, most likely.
We should know by the end of the week, like what exactly is going on. You know, the timeline on him, when his first start would be. I mean, they could push it back a few days, but they're going to have to make a, you know, decision if there's any kind of extended absence. Because he's still not fully stretched out as a starter or anything in the spring. So, I mean, I'm more concerned about, like, Grichuk being out, like, his injury, like, you know, he's coming off of surgery. That's more concerning in terms of like timeline and how long it'll take for him to, you know, be ready for the season than it is with Rodriguez. I mean, I think at worst he might, you know, miss the first turn of the rotation at the end of the season if it's like a minor, problem. More than just a tightness or a cramp or whatever.
I mean, the thing for me, obviously, if we're pivoting over to Grichik, is I don't think Grichik's at the point where he's going to be ready for opening day. Although I kind of walk back his previous comments when I asked him about yesterday before the game. And I would say it's probably 90-10 odds that he start. This is my speculation on this. This is not any actual reporting, but 90-10 odds that he begins the year on the IL. I feel like they're pretty much at the point where it's make a decision now.
Yeah, it seems more likely than him actually being ready for, you know, opening day. So, that does create opportunities for some other players, you know, on the bubble with this team. So, I mean, that's kind of like I have actual reason to pay attention to what's happening in spring training, because I think I've established that. I mean, it's practice. It doesn't really matter other than these small, you know, battles for a job.
Of course, the first thing when we ask about what are they replacing with, and then we'll go through the pros and cons of each option, is, okay, are they going to carry five outfielders or are they going to carry four outfielders if we include Jock?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. It's like, okay, so how do you use that roster? I mean, who are your five outfielders in this case?
They carry an outfielder, it's going to be Jake McCarthy most likely. Because Torrey was asked last night before the game if Pavin Smith was an option for the outfield, and he said no. They're just looking at him at first base.
Yeah, I would think that McCarthy is the most likely option to replace Grichik, just in terms of his versatility in the outfield. And I think he needs another solid chance at a success, and hopefully he runs with the job. The other option is Pavin Smith. He's not a credible outfielder. I don't really think he's a credible first baseman. I could see them Pavin making the roster, though. He seems to be like the good luck charm for the team. So, you know,
yeah, I think Pavin Smith's first base defense has improved this spring. There was a play that he made against the Cubs yesterday that he whiffed pretty bad on a couple weeks ago against Milwaukee that ended up being a big hit in that game.
I mean, to Pavin's defense, he hasn't really gotten the reps at first base that he should have. I mean, the team has tried him out, in the outfield. He hasn't really had the reps. I mean, it's understandable that there would be some mental lapses and mistakes in the field with him playing first base. And he does seem improved this spring. So, I mean, if you're weighing between, like, so Pavin Smith is not going to count as that, as an outfielder. The other option would be three backup infielders. So,
yeah, in that situation, you would have to likely make a 40-man roster move, because one of those three infielders is not going to be Blaze Alexander. There's just not enough at bats at the major league level for him to play enough to get better as a hitter. And that's what it comes down to. It's not that he isn't major league ready. Ask every spring training pitcher, he's annihilated if he's major league ready. Ask Kyle Hendricks if Blaze Alexander can hit with two strikes with runners in scoring position.
I mean, the same thinking like kind of goes with Lawler as well, is that they both are, it's not really a question that they're ready. It's about getting them the playing time of, you know, in that bat, so that when there is an opportunity for either player, they're ready for it. I mean, just sitting on the bench and running the pine, like, that didn't help Lawler's development over last year. So both of them, I think, yeah, you can rule them out. You see I think Elvis Andrews, there's a chance that they do that. I mean, who are they? Who? What is the roster move then? Like that you make if you're gonna put one of the non-roster invitees on the opening day roster.
It's not gonna be Pavin Smith. Pavin Smith is one Christian Walker stub toe away from playing every day at first base.
Yeah, he's actually much needed depth for this team because none of the first basemen that we have in the farm system are really credible, despite what some people have suggested. Like, I really don't think any of them. Some candidates will never be ready for the major leagues, and I think they're really going to struggle, finding success as things stand. There's other players. Like, I mean, Gino Groover, I think, is the future first baseman of this team, and he's a good 2 years away.
We shouldn't be talking about Gino Groover as a potential major league player before the 2025 season.
Yeah, I've just heard people throwing things out there like that, and it's just like, that's not realistic. I'm super optimistic. That's too optimistic. So yeah, you need Pavin Smith around. I mean, would it be like Jace Peterson maybe? I mean, I really don't know who you're
No, Jace is not the backup. Pavin Smith is probably more likely to be one of the three because then he backs up first base. But the problem with putting Smith on the rosters, okay, if he's backing up first base, where else is he going to get in the lineup? DH? What does that mean? Yeah. Does Jock play the outfield? Which in itself is not a good idea.
Yeah, I don't think Jock is a credible outfielder right now.
I mean, we're going to play Jock. You have Smith hit against lefties. He's got a 587 OPS against lefties.
Yeah, kind of thing. Like I don't think he's a don't think he's a credible option as an outfielder. If you're including him in the outfield mix, that doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, thing about Smith is he just doesn't have a lot of range. He'll catch the balls he can get to.
Yeah,
and he's actually got a decent arm.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think Pavin Smith right now is probably a more credible outfielder than Jock Peterson. So
yeah. Smith actually gets decent reads. He just has no speed.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would think it's going to be, I mean, like, I'm not really sure what the best move would be here. I'd like to see Jake McCarthy because you need a competent defensive backup outfielder. Jake McCarthy at the very least is that.
Of course, the downside with
that. I don't think that you have Jock Peterson as your fourth outfielder. It doesn't make sense.
Of course, the downside with bringing up McCarthy is you're adding another left-handed hitting outfielder to your roster.
Yeah.
And he's clearly ahead of Jorge Barroza, too. I don't know if Barroza's still on the...
He was sent down. He was sent down to Reno. He was signed to Reno, I'm pretty sure.
I don't remember him being cut. But it's been a while since he's played a major league spring training game. Oh wait, yeah, it is sent down to the minors.
Yeah, he was optioned on the 10th. So he's not really an option for your outfield.
I mean, they can always recall him.
I mean, they can. I don't think that he's quite ready yet. I think that he could use a little more seasoning in Reno. He's I would love to see him get a chance, but I think that's the problem with Jake McCarthy being left-handed. And like, while your options being left-handed, is you're really only the only other option you have is Barroza, who's a switch hitter, and I think he hits better from the left side, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, well, Barroza's gonna get more bats left-handed, for sure.
Yeah.
But he would bat right-handed against a lefty.
Kevin Newman, I don't know why you would go with Kevin Newman, but I understand. Well,
Newman would probably looks likely be let go when his first opt-out date comes up, because there's just as I mentioned with Jack on the last episode, there's no playing time for him in Reno.
Yeah,
your inner infield is gonna be Blaze and Lawler. Now, of course, Blaze might be playing multiple positions a week, like one game is short. Couple games here at third, a couple at second base. And by the way, I think he's a plausible third baseman if he could play every day.
Yeah.
Like if you watch his Like, you watch his arm. It's a line. It's on a line. It's like, even his casual throws, look like bullets, kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, if that's the case with if Newman has an opt out, then yeah, I would assume that he would, just because his playing time is just not, he's not going to get a whole lot in Reno. You're going to give Blaze and Lawler every day at bats as many as you can. Because I mean, I'm really not. I mean, the thing is that, how do you want, how do the D-backs really want to go about it? They just want to, give someone a little bit extra time to, evaluate them before they send them back down? Or, there's a lot of ways to approach filling that roster spot with Grichuk, until he comes back. It just really depends on how they're approaching it. Do they want to maximize production out of it? Or do they want to, use it for player development more? It doesn't matter what the production is. It depends on what the team's approach is going to be.
Well, what was Grichuk's intended role? Fourth outfielder / right hand DH. So you're looking at a part-time player to begin with.
Yeah. Here, that's the get back to the problem of your best options for outfielders are all left.
Although the one thing about McCarthy is he has no platoon splits left versus right, which is both a good and a bad thing. He has a 7.11 OPS against lefties, but unfortunately he also has a 7.11 OPS against right-handers.
You know what you're going to get with him. I mean, I really don't. I would go with McCarthy just because you have the defensive versatility in the outfield. You kind of know what you're getting. I mean, it's not ideal.
You would use McCarthy as your replacement left fielder for Gurriel late in the game.
And you don't need to make the roster move with him. I think that's why it makes the most sense. I that's stuff that I really just like the whole with Newman and Andrews is they don't seem like there's really a role for them per se. Like there's going to have to be a move. I don't know who would they cut for them.
On the 40-man roster, I think you would cut a pitcher.
Let's pull that up.
Because if they carry seven infielders, one of them's going to be Rivera because they're not going to lose him the waivers.
Yeah, I don't see them cutting Rivera. I don't see them cutting Pavin now.
However, there is one thing I want to note before we get any further in depth. So we're looking at, which pitchers could they DFA? And obviously, Strezelecki.
Yeah.
Comes at the top of the list, I think. I mean, that's the only pitcher I can think of that you would make a 40-man roster move, because Jameson's already on the 60-day IL.
I mean, the only other guy would actually that the pitcher would be Walston, and Walston will be snapped up on waivers. I mean, they're not going to DFA. So, but in terms of someone I don't know who else you could slip through waivers.
The only other idea you can think of is a trade.
Yeah, that's a possibility that we always forget about, is that they could work out a trade with another team. Don't know what they're going to do with that.
Because I don't think they're going to cut bait on Luis Frias because he's got an option left. Martin has an option left. Martinez has option. Well, no, they're not going to cut Martinez, no matter, even if he didn't.
They're not going to do that.
They're not going to. And then, possibly Mantiply, but I think Mantiply is going to make the roster anyway. So that's a moot point. I mean, there's not. Already got to make a 40-man roster move to get Barnhart on the team as well. So.
Yeah, that's.
I think they're going to trade. I think it's going to have to come trade.
Yeah, I don't really see how else they would go about it. I mean, there's a few, unless you want to, I guess, you want to cut bait on a guy like Manaply or Scott McGuff or that's pretty much it. There's only, I mean, in terms of older players, it's those two. Or Strzelecki. Yeah, Miguel Castro or Strzelecki. seem like the most obvious candidates if you're going with pitchers. If you're going with, if you want to make a move with one of your position players, you pretty much have to work out a trade. So this could be something to keep an eye on.
Originally, we were thinking
the next week or two.
Originally, I was thinking Pavin Smith, but he's pretty much entrenched, I would say, on the depth chart at first base. So I think he's passed Rivera on the first base depth chart. And even though I think Rivera could competently back up 20 games, the question is what happens if something were to happen to Walker? And I don't think Rivera is an everyday first baseman. But then again, neither is Smith.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But like, Smith is at least left-handed.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what they would. All the other options of like who you make a move with, like they're not going to make it through it. Like Emmanuel Rivera is not going to make it through it at all. I think Jace Peterson. Peterson, he's going to make it. He's not going to make through waivers. He might. I mean, there's a small chance. I mean, if there's one player that I think that they could sneak through waivers, it's probably Jace Peterson.
Well, Jace Peterson would be released if he makes it through waivers.
Yeah. I guess he would have the option of looking free agency. You're right.
Okay. So Smith has a 92 WRC plus against right hand pitching. If I have this correct. Oh, wait, no, that's his career. Sorry. Against right handers, it's 101. So you'll take that as a backup because at least he's league average in the situations you can control. You can start him and you would just bring in Rivera if they bring a lefty on the mound. If it was a lefty on the mound and it was a key at bat. Now, if it's a situation where Smith, there's nobody on in two outs or Smith should just take the at bat and strike out. Like there's nothing going on. Take the at bat and see if he can create something out of nothing kind of thing.
I mean, that's actually like really Pavin Smith. He's got a great, he's got good plate discipline. He definitely knows how to take a walk. He does have a role just like, if you're going to turn to a guy that's on the 40-man roster and you want him to just get something started. Okay. And like a walk sometimes is good enough. Pavin Smith might be that guy.
We talk about what's the bar for a major league first baseman. I think Pavin Smith's the bar.
Yeah, pretty much.
What is a major league caliber first baseman?
It's the real thing. Like we've talked about many times is that it does not have the power that you would like to have out of a, you know, everyday first baseman. I mean, you need him to not just take walks and hit singles, but he needs to have more than double power. And that's really the most that we've seen out of Pavin. It's just been like double level power. And you want, obviously, like you want more than that.
Let me check StatCast real quick. So we go to batters and put Smith, Pavin. And I'm not going to put this on the video, but I'll explain the stats pretty soon once we get there. Batter player type, we want the batter. Pitcher handedness, right-handed. So we're going to look up. And you can do this on StatCast Search too if you want to follow along. So we're going to look up the actual batting average, slugging, weighted on base, XStat version. And then we're going to look at exit velocity. We're going to look at the exit velocity, launch angle, hard hit, barrel numbers. So this will be a fun exercise. There's 11 stats, so we're going to have to keep up here. Oh, this is 2023. I want career.
You need to share your screen. But showing up on the layout.
Smith's entire career is during the StatCast era. So he's been slightly underperforming his X stats. For his career, the launch angle, the hard hit rate, and the barrel rate is passable.
I mean, that's the thing is he just doesn't, when he was drafted, it was always like projected power with him, and it's just never shown up. Like, I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what's going to take for him to actually tap into his power and like break out like that. I mean, I think it would take a dramatic alteration of his swing for him to to really tap into his power potential. And I don't really think he's willing to make those kind of changes. He never really was in the minor leagues.
What I remember is they tried to make those changes and it resulted in him having a pretty crappy first half in 19.
Oh, yes, yes, that's right. They tried before. Maybe I think some of it could, I mean, I think he should try again to, you know, tap into that power potential, but I don't know if he really can. That's the thing, is he's already tried before. What's going to be different this time? So,
I mean, because kind of the thing here.
Let's just say, like, if you're gonna pick a guy, like, if you have to work with the roster that's available, like, you know, the guys that are currently in camp right now, who do you go with to replace Richick's spot? Like, gun to your head, who are you going with?
Who am I going with, or who do I think the D-backs are going with? That's the question.
Let's answer both. Okay, so who do you think the team?
Okay, so who I would run with, I would. So I would run with Andres Rivera Peterson, but only because I just don't know where you're going to get Smith in this lineup, because there's no, you can't really start him at DH without putting Jock in the field.
Yeah.
And Rivera can play first base in a backup situation. If something happens to Walker, you call up Smith from Reno.
Yeah.
However, what I think will happen is they will roll with Rivera, Peterson, Smith. If they go with seven infielders.
That seems plausible. I mean, like, what I would like them to do is, one, like I said, Jake McCarthy is who I would carry Peterson and carry Rivera. I don't really know about Andres. Like, I think, yeah, I mean, your scenario, I think, is much more likely than what I would like to see. Yeah. So I can't disagree with that.
In that scenario, Rivera is your backup shortstop.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Although I think he was starting today against the Rockies at shortstop.
I mean, I don't know if Emmanuel Rivera is a plausible shortstop. I think that has some serious red flags for me. I don't think, when was the last time he played shortstop? Like, outside of today.
Okay, so here's an interesting development. So going back to the starting pitching thing, Tommy Henry. Faced 11 hitters, 3 strikeouts, 1 walk, no hits. Against the Rockies, only 44 pitches. So I don't know if that means anything. Personally, it seems kind of odd if Henry's legitimately competing for the 5th starter spot that they cut his start short. Unless it was a situation where they wanted to get Mantiply some work against
the lefties.
And they'll insert Henry back in the game after the fact. Although Mantiply struck out the two, Nolan Jones and Brendan Rodgers.
So yeah, you know, Henry really needed to have that start. I mean, he's had a pretty rough stretch of the brain. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's so weird that they reinsert players into games during spring. It does seem like Nelson has the inside track with the starter job, but
unofficially speaking, I think it's been etched the last time around. I think kind of sealed it because Henry had a really poor start that kind of upset Lovello, and then Ryan Nelson had a start that was pretty good. He got out of some jams, and I think it was the best command he had of his off speed stuff, his slider and his changeup kind of thing. So that's kind of what they're looking for. Although, like I said, today Henry much better, but against the Rockies.
If there are any setbacks with Rodriguez, it would be good to have both of them doing, you know, doing well going into the start of the year, because I would assume they just have Henry make that start for something to, you know, if Rodriguez can't, to be in the air.
Yeah, and we're talking 2 to 3 turns to the rotation at most, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, it's only a likelihood just because he's already on the roster. They don't really have to make any moves. I know he's got options left, so it's pretty easy decision to make if that's the case. Good to see him turn it around. Hopefully he comes back into the game. Not sure what.
I'll have to wait. Christian Walker's doing his home run trot.
Okay, yeah, that's what just happened.
All right. All right, so you want to go Blake Snell? Kind of talk about how the National League West has suddenly become the best division in baseball?
Yeah, that's I got to say, poor Rockies fans. Their team doesn't get in on the action here. That's kind of, you know, what's new for Rockies fans. What? But no, I mean, we've seen the Padres acquire Cease. We've seen the Giants sign Snell. They've made some, you know, there's some questions in the moves they made. Like, there's a reason why Snell and Chapman took so long to sign. Actually, to the Giants' credit, they got a deal on them, which, you know, that's kind of an interesting twist. Like, that actually worked out in the Giants' favor. The Dodgers, obviously, are, like, terrifying. I put the Padres at a lower tier, and then, obviously, like I said, the Rockies haven't done anything, but... I mean, we look at the D-backs. They made some huge improvements. I think it may be the most competitive division in baseball.
Yeah. Especially the 2 through 4. Second through fourth place is going to be a dogfight in this division. And it's quite plausible that the NL West could send 3 playoff teams.
That's this year. I would not be terribly surprised if that happened. I mean, it is kind of... who was it last year? Was it the...
It was the D-backs and the Dodgers last year.
No, on the
Padres were missed by 2, and I think the Giants missed by 4.
Okay, yeah,
4 or 5. Like, it was pretty close.
I remember the situation. The AL West was almost in that position too.
No, the AL West was in that position.
Yeah,
there were 3 teams that could have made the postseason going down to game 161. I mean, the top 3 could have made the postseason.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like the Mariners fell off. The
Mariners fell off
hard.
They lost their last 2 games, and that kind of hurt them.
I mean, this Giants team, I think, is going to look a lot scarier down the stretch if Robbie Ray can come back healthy. Like, that's an ask. Like, he's injured. They acquired him from the Mariners. Obviously,
Kyle Harrison.
Yeah, so there's the second half Giants. If they can just survive until really the second half, I think they'll be a really scary opponent. The Padres,
it's a Jekyll and Hyde squad.
Yeah, that's the thing. Are they the good Padres team this year, or are they the bad one? Like, how is that going? You know, like, clubhouse chemistry, how has that changed? I know that there was some toxicity there. I do think that they clearly have the potential to be like challenge the Diamondbacks for that, you know, second in the division. I do not think that the Dodgers are going to finish anywhere but first. I pretty much.
Yeah. There's going to be a seismic gap between first and second place. Most likely
it would take a lot for the Dodgers to not be in first place. I just don't, it basically takes everything going wrong for the Dodgers while everything goes right for another team. And I don't even see the Diamondbacks really having that happen. So it's pretty much like all but certain, like the Dodgers will be in first place. Thank God we don't have the schedules that we used to have where they're facing the Dodgers, like, you know, all year long. Cause that would really like sink my hope for this season.
I mean, basically at this point, you just hope you're good enough that you can beat them in a 5-game series.
Yeah.
Which happened last year, obviously, but also a lot of things went, as you described earlier, a lot of things went wrong for them. Their rotation completely disintegrated. Yeah. And the Diamondbacks were a young team that just didn't know any better entering that thing. And then kind of just laid the haymaker in game 1, never looked back.
Yeah, it was, they just kind of, fell ass backwards into a postseason slot, and then they just kind of lucked their way into the World Series, which is like, I'm still kind of astounded by the events that happened over this last postseason of just like how lucky. I think most Diamondback fans know that the team is really lucky to get to the World Series. It's not even guaranteed that will make the postseason again.
The luck factor was getting into the NLCS, in my opinion. Once you get to that deep, it's no longer luck.
Yeah.
Unless literally a fluky play decides the series, and that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
D-backs definitely outplayed Philadelphia in the final five games. Save for
game
five.
I mean, regardless of the moves that, the NL West opponents have made, like I've said before, they addressed most of the holes in the best way that they could. Like, yeah, you would have loved to see them get a Yamamoto instead of E-Rod.
Yamamoto was dead set on L.A.
Yeah. So considering their options and, like, the realistic options, okay? So, like, we're not putting Ohtani or Yamamoto or any of those guys in there. They probably have the best, offseason out of any team in the NL, at the very least.
Yeah. All the players they added have pretty relevant upside, very little downside. The downside isn't necessarily too risky.
Yeah.
Necessarily. I think the biggest downside is health, I think, with some of these guys, because they're in their 30s. Obviously, we talked about Rodriguez and Suarez having injuries in spring training. Jock Peterson, obviously, is probably going to be what we thought he is. That's not a good deal.
Are always a concern with any team. Like, it doesn't matter, you could be in the position where, God forbid, like a player does that you're counting on, does something terrible. And then, you're just left scrambled. That's like pretty much the Rays have had to do, thanks to their star player just being a POS. So,
literally their starting rotation completely disintegrating injuries too.
So, Diamondbacks are in a pretty good position. There are questions with the Padres rotation. Regardless of adding Cease, don't necessarily believe in the rotation. I think the Giants, I think Snell should do pretty well in that ballpark. Like, I would think he would, despite, I'm not basing this on any, hard numbers or data or anything, but, he just seems like he would do well in San Francisco. The fog rolling in, it would really help.
Snell's also a regression candidate because
you
can only outperform your peripherals for so long.
Yeah, that's the real thing.
He had over five walks per nine innings, although I don't think that will repeat. That was more of a blip.
Yeah, that was just a bizarre. I would be surprised if that's like a real indicator that he's going to go bust. I think it's been talked about all offseason. He's only had really two seasons where
he's only had two seasons where he's had starting
like he's really like been like enough
been acceptable.
Yeah, that's really what I was going to say. Is like it's not just the quality of his pitching, the volume of his pitching has been acceptable to pay a guy $30 million a year, and he actually really needs to make sure that he repeats his Cy Young season, like has that caliber for season. Otherwise, I don't think the Giants have really done enough to. Like, a Solaire has questions out of Matt Chapman has questions. They're all older. I have questions about that team. The Rockies. Yeah. I mean, if any team's going to surprise anyone, it's going to be the Rockies. Okay. Like, they might be mediocre, and like, that would be fantastic, in my opinion, but they're not going to be doing anything. The Padres, I think, are the more of a threat than the Giants.
I'm going to disagree and say the Giants are more of a threat if they can figure it out. Like I said, I think Bob Melvin's a superior manager compared to Mike Schilt. And I don't think there are any, and I'm not 100% sure on this, but I don't feel like there are any toxic personalities in that Giants locker room, even though Chapman and Snell poorly misread the free agent market.
Yeah.
That doesn't really say anything.
I'm going to put a caveat to that of saying the Padres is that that's assuming that they work out the clubhouse chemistry problem, because it's very clear like there's some issues there. Bob Melvin could actually have made some real changes. I think that's probably their biggest addition of the offseason. Actually, was was Bob Melvin, honestly. Because
there's something.
Gabe Kapler, I did not like the stories that were coming out of the clubhouse last year under his managing. So yeah. I think that alone could really help that Giants clubhouse.
Yeah, Barry Bloom did not have a very high opinion on Kapler.
Yeah. So, I mean, right now, I mean, I think it's going to be, you know, pretty much the same order as last year. You know, I think
same order, maybe every team gets a couple more wins than last year, possibly. It depends on what happens. Like I said, the NL Central is completely wide open. So maybe maybe they beat each other up. But then again, one team from that division will always make the playoffs no matter how good they are. And that division's literally wide open. The East is going to send the Braves and the Phillies, I think. For sure.
Yeah, the Marlins, I think, are a little too dysfunctional, and they have too many holes in their team. They don't have any pitching, really.
Marlins' S2 pitchers might not throw a single pitch in 2024.
Yeah, they don't have the pitching.
Alcantara already had Tommy John surgery, and then Yuri Perez is talking with Keith Meister, who's the surgeon who did Dre Jameson's Tommy John surgery. So getting opinions from him. So that's never a good sign.
I think the Mets could surprise, and be better than the Phillies. I think it's unlikely, they don't have any pitching, but you know, they've been making some, I just think that the Mets like to throw us curveballs once in a while. And when everyone actually expects them to be good, they're terrible. When everyone expects them to be terrible, they kind of surprise. Just their track records. It would be a Mets thing to, fall ass backwards into a wild card spot.
I mean, the thing is, the Mets don't have front end starting pitching. At least the D-backs have that. Those teams in the NL West have frontline starting pitching. If you believe Blake Snell is a frontline starter. Of course, I don't, but the quality of innings that Snell gives you is frontline starter level, but it doesn't give you frontline starter value unless you can get 180 innings out of him.
I got to look at the depth chart. I have no idea.
If I were voting for Cy Young, if you don't throw 180 innings off my ballot, I don't care how good you are. I don't care how good you are. How good those 179 innings were.
Okay, who is even in there? So the Quintana, Severino, Sean Manea, Adrian Hauser, Tyler McGill is there who with the depth chart for starting pitchers. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, they're
Schrodinger's rotation, as I'm going to call it.
Yeah, that's
it's either kinda gonna, it could be either really good or most likely disaster bad. Waiting to happen.
Probably it is. I would not be surprised if they're decent, like 500 at least. They're better than they were last year.
That's almost a bad outcome for them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't think the Mets have a lottery pick, but if they did, they probably don't want to be that bad.
Yeah, I don't think the Mets are really expected to contend, but I think they could surprise. If we're going like while we're just finished going over the rest of the league, I think the AL West is probably the Astros, the Rangers again. It could be either one. It could be the Rangers. The Rangers have too many like injury prone players for me to be like certain that they will repeat and win their division.
Well, they managed to have enough of those injury prone players healthy at the in the postseason.
Yeah. I just don't know if they can do 2 years in a row. I do think the Astros and Rangers will both be, they'll be 1-2 in the AL West. I don't think the Mariners
I don't know about that. Enough. Like I would say Seattle has the best rotation in the division by far.
Yeah.
Like Seattle loses a guy, they still got somebody. Whereas Houston and Texas rotation is thinning out, but
and then the AL
time to worry about the AL Central, is the World Series.
The AL Central, I'm just gonna go with the Royals. I don't care what anyone thinks. I'm going to pick the Royals to win the AL Central. And by some miracle, if that happens, you heard it here first. And then you can't really fault going with the Rays for the AL East.
I'm going to take Baltimore in that division.
I mean, Baltimore is probably going to win that division. But
Like Tampa, Baltimore is the superior starting staff. Unless,
yeah, the young talent there is really good too. I mean, I would think that.
And they've got
So who would you pick for, like, I mean, Yankees or the Rays for number two in that division?
I would take Tampa. Like Tampa Bay maximized the value of their players pretty well.
Yeah,
a lot of their players get injured, but
they are
a lot of pitching injuries.
They're the best run organization for the amount of money that they spend. So, I mean, they're really hard to bet on being worse than that. You want to throw out your I'm gonna pick predict a World Series rematch.
You're gonna predict a World Series rematch. I'm gonna predict.
Yes, sir.
Trying to think. I'm not going to predict a rematch. I'm going to. Actually, let's see. Predict that both we're going to see another sixth seed from the National League make it into the World Series.
That seems like a pretty. That's a solid prediction. I mean, regardless,
sixth seed, third place team makes it. A third place team is going to make the World Series this year. And I'm going
to. The way the playoffs are structured, it actually kind of gives it helps those lower seeded teams build momentum. The Diamondbacks could very well be the sixth seed, so I think more likely the fourth, fifth seed, but. Yeah, that seems about right. I mean, and like if you're gonna go using just using projections, I'm pretty sure it's like Dodgers and I'm not sure. I think the Rangers still have really good World Series odds. So that would be the expected World Series.
Yeah, I feel like six is a bad I feel like six is a bad number for postseason as well.
Yeah.
And I think obviously what happened last year is in the National League is what probably the worst possible outcome could have happened in terms of how the playoffs are structured, where the two teams with a bye basically got cold.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And they got beat by two teams that over 162 games weren't even competitive with their the team. Let's see. In the case of the Braves and Dodgers, they went up against division teams.
Yeah,
a team that's capable of making the playoffs can beat another team in a 5-game series.
Absolutely, and
that's kind of what happened.
I mean, it's Billy Beane put it really well: is that like playoffs are a crapshoot, and you know, like he said, like he put it well. He's like, my shit doesn't work in the playoffs, and
I'm pretty sure Bill James says the same.
Yeah, Bill James would tell you the same thing. Is it's like. I actually might have been Bill James who said it first, but I mean, either way, like you can build a team to win the division, and it's no guarantee that you're even going to get out of the first round of the playoffs. So I think the playoffs, the way they're structured now, does give favorability to the lower seeded teams that don't have the bye just because they're hot.
Yeah, they have a 3-game series going in. Now, they do have a disadvantage with starting pitching. But however, if the lower seeded team were to win game one against the opposing team's ace, now the series is completely upside down. Now completely in favor of the lower seed, because then they'll be facing the top of their top of the rotation will be facing the bottom of the other team's rotation, as it played out in the Dodgers series.
Yeah.
Now, of course, if you're the D-backs, you don't care if Gallen or Kelly starts game one of a series.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I'm optimistic about the, you know, It's you know, it's the start of the season. There's reasons to be optimistic that, you know, we're not the Oakland Athletics, we're not the Rockies. Good chance that we'll be talking in the postseason.
All right. So anyways, thanks everyone for watching in. Again, if you enjoyed the content, make sure to subscribe, leave a like, and comment down below what you think of the what your level of concern with the Eduardo Rodriguez injury is, 1 to 10. Like I said, Wes answered 2. I never gave mine. So I'm going to say 4 out of 10 is my concern level, obviously. But let us know about that. And again, I forgot what we're going to... Oh, yeah. If you're listening to the podcast, make sure to leave a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting platform and recommend it to your friends, listen to for as we're going to try and become the most watched, most listened to Diamondbacks podcast. And we got a lot of work to catch up on that ground. So any closing remarks for you, Wes?
Oh, I'm ready for the season to start. I think everyone is too. Some game in another country doesn't count. So got about a week. I'm excited.
Anyways,
my mom's trying to get a hold of me.
All right. Looks like we closed just in time.
Yep.